Welcome back to another Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. We're still growing. We've pushed past 5,000 subscribers. I'm greedy. I want more. I really appreciate your support because I hope that this will turn into something that I can count on and something that gives me the freedom that I really want to basically work for myself, right? So every time you subscribe or leave a comment, it really helps me. And I am grateful, and I really appreciate your comments that you leave because I learn a lot, and I find the discussion in those comment sections under each video to be very enlightening and really done at a high level. You know, there's inevitably going to be some trolls here and there, but I try to tune that out and not worry about it. I like giving my time and attention to the people who are trying to have a good conversation. So thank you for that. Really, really nice experience. I want to talk about Mike Schilt today. His Padres clinched a playoff spot last night, dramatic fashion, turning a triple play to beat the Dodgers. And we're going to get back to Schilt in a minute because he's making some history this season, the former Cardinals manager, making some history. And I want to share a few things about him and what his record tells us. It's actually quite impressive. And this isn't about, every time I bring up Mike Schilt, I invariably get, well, you know, you didn't like him when he was here. You know, you really criticized him a lot when he was here. You got the criticism part right. What you don't have right is what I criticized. Mike Schilt was a really good manager. I couldn't stand his post-game news conferences on Bally Sports Midwest, especially after they lost games or they lose a series. I could only hear the phrase scratch and claw. My fellas scratched and clawed, scratched and clawed, scratched and clawed. There's only so many times you hear that and you're just like, I can't take it anymore. I'm being dramatic on purpose. And as I joked, you know, the Cardinals would lose, a game to the Marlins that they should have won. And then Schilt would come out with the scratch and claw, with scratch and claw. We got the heart of a champion. Those guys left it all out there on the line. And I think one time at Scoops, I wrote a column. I was saying like, you know, he talks like he's one of these Civil War generals, like him and his men just got off the field, you know, the battlefield at Gettysburg or Antietam or something. You know, it's just, I didn't like it. What can I say? If that makes me a petty, awful person, guilty as charged. Was he a good manager? Well, I think his record speaks for itself. We're going to take this break, however, because I know you're wondering about this hat. We're going to get right back to the Schilt talk. 1933. Columbus Redbirds. That was a St. Louis Cardinals, as you probably guessed, a farm team. 1933 Columbus Redbirds. Couple things about this, because I like to give you the stories. I love this hat. I couldn't wait to click the button to purchase it. When I saw it, I'm like, whoa, can I get it here like in 10 minutes? I was excited, all right? This particular team, 1933 Columbus Redbirds, they were selected as one of the 100 greatest minor league teams of all time. And no wonder why. You know who was on that team? I'm going to read you some names. Stan the Man is a little too early for him. In no particular order, members of the 1933 Columbus Redbirds included Enos Slaughter, Billy Southworth, Paul Daffy Dean, Dizzy's brother, Mort Cooper, Walter Austin, Sammy Baugh, better known as a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? But also was a really good baseball player. Joe Graziola, Don Guttridge, Sally Hemus, Max Lanier, Cardinals Hall of Famer, Harry the Hat Walker, Rip Rapolsky, on and on and on and on. I mean, that was when they ran away with the league, or they released the division that season by a staggering amount of games. And man, what talent. 1933 Columbus, Ohio Redbirds, salute. All right, back to Mike Schilt. I made a lot of notes today, so if I'm looking down, don't be irritated at me. Well, we know that Schilt was famously, notoriously fired only a couple of days after the Cardinals lost the NL wildcard game to the Dodgers in 2021. And as we know, President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, attributed the sacking to, quote, philosophical differences. I've explained this. They've disagreed vehemently on some things, and Schilt kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and Mozeliak obviously felt that he crossed a boundary. What that boundary, the exact boundary is, I don't know, because I'm not privy to the conversation, and everyone's pretty much shut up about it. But they had a terrible falling out, and it got to the point where enough's enough. Mo just said, I just don't want this. Keep doing this over and over again. If you don't like what we're going to try to do, or you don't agree with our plan, or we disagree on this, you know, it's time to get to work. And I always harken back to Tony La Russa, and I've told this story. Those of you who've heard it a few times, forgive me, I'm going to tell it again. You know, people act like the fact that Mike Schilt may have pushed too hard. I ain't blaming him. I'm trying to tell you what happened. Don't shoot me. I am the messenger, okay? The fact that it is possible for even a good manager to push too hard. And my source on that is Tony La Russa. You know, Walt, there's this impression that he and Walt Jocketty saw eye to eye on everything. They're great friends. Boy, they're always on the same page. No, they had a lot of disagreements. And Tony told me, he said, man, I pushed and pushed and pushed Walt. And then he'd say, no, I don't think we're going to do that, Tony. And then I'd push him some more, and then I'd push him some more. And finally, you know, Walt would get to the point. He's like, Tony, we've been doing this a long time. You're my guy. We work great together. But I have to say no this time, and that's it, okay? We've talked about this enough. And La Russa told me, he said, listen, I appreciate it. I could make my case, and I could push it. But when it gets to a certain point, you got to go back to work. You got to recognize the obvious thing is that we all have bosses. And those bosses, in his case, are in charge of the roster, right? And so La Russa said, you make your best case, you make your best pitch, you get aggressive, you push. But there comes a time where you just say, okay, all right, let's move on, Walt. We're good. This idea that managers can just demand things and keep demanding things and they get a little nasty about it or whatever, and that there's not going to be any kind of hard feeling setting. And it's just incredibly naive. We're adults here, okay? We're not children. I'm not defending the decision to fire Schilt. I'm just saying I understood why they did it. But that'll get lost in translation. I'm sure I'll get some comments. It's like, oh, you're defending Mo for fire? No, I'm not. And what I thought was, well, let's see how this works out for the Cardinals. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, that was a very controversial firing. Well, hiring too, by promoting Ali Marmol. Very controversial move by John Mozeliak. Very controversial move. Made a lot of people confused, perplexed, befuddled, then angered. Is when the Cardinals, not so much in 2022. We didn't hear much about Schilt in 2022, did we? 2023, we started to hear a lot about Schilt. 2024, oh, yeah, look at Schilt. Look at what he's doing in San Diego. Oh, listen, man, that's human nature. No big deal. But I just wanted to point it out. So if you're Mike Schilt, you got to be really happy. When you came to St. Louis, and I thought Schilt, when he was here with the Padres for the first time as the Padres manager, I liked something that he said that day. I never talked about it. He was talking about getting fired, and he said, we don't get a lot of mulligans in life. I haven't lost any sleep with how I did things for my 18 years here. I can rest comfortably knowing that I did my best to be a caretaker of the organization. And as Tony La Russa would say, do my part to put my piece in. And, that was taken, including by me. That was viewed as a little bit of, a little bit of a zinger from Schilt. It's like, oh, no, you know, I know what went down, and I was shocked, but I sleep at night. Proud of the work we did here. Little bit of a zinger. That's okay. He's entitled, right? But it really is amazing. And I'm going to pan out because there's a wider view here. Mike Schilt is actually building a managerial career that is quite impressive, whether he managed the Cardinals or not. Just looking at the man's record and what he's been able to do. So the Padres clinched the playoff spot last night. And by the way, they still have a chance to catch the Dodgers and finish first in the NL West. They're two games out with five to play, and these two teams are going to go at it again tonight. I think maybe even tomorrow again. So there's a chance there, and Schilt's team is the hottest in baseball since July 20th. More on that here in a minute. So the Padres are going to the playoffs for the first time. Excuse me, the playoffs in Schilt's first year as manager, and the Cardinals are going to miss the playoffs second year in a row. After making the playoffs three straight seasons with Schilt as the manager, 2019, 20, and 21, three straight years, the Cardinals have qualified for the postseason only one time in the last three seasons. Schilt's a happy manager. I mean, doing a lot of reading here lately about him. Very happy manager, very happy man. And I think things turned out really, really well for him. Listen, let's be honest here. We all know this. He's in a better place now because the one thing about the Padres is they're ambitious. They're aggressive. They're gung-ho. A.J. Preller, who is their president of baseball operation, he is bananas. In his drive, his hunger to always add the next piece. I got to go get this. I got to go that. You know, that's great for a manager. And the Padres spend money, although this season they actually cut payroll, but they still have a lot of talent. They're always on the hunt to add premium talent. They never really rest. But they've come up short too many times. Even with some talented rosters in recent years. 22 was the exception because they got it to the NLCS. But the Padres have kind of been laggards given the talent base that they had, that they gave their manager to work with. They really needed a manager that could put everything together, handle the egos, enhance the clubhouse culture, get all of San Diego's stars and some of those dudes – like Manny Machado, they can be, what's the word? They can be very moody, all right? And you got to get those guys to buy in or they just chew up managers there unless they buy in. And Schilt has got great relationships with his players and they have bought in. I was reading one of the really good baseball writers, San Diego, said it's funny because you listen to players here in the Padres talk, they repeat Schilt's phrases all the time. That's kind of an indication of the buy-in. They even talk like him, right? He's done all of this stuff in his first season in San Diego. And this is kind of a big deal because if you look at it, you know, they've won their 91 games and counting, and they haven't won until this year. The Padres hadn't won 90 games or more since 2010. This is only the second time since 1998 that they've won 90 games in a full season. And this one I didn't realize until I looked it up. I knew the postseason appearances had been kind of scattered. So they'll be going to the postseason for only the third time in the last 18 seasons. So point is, Schilt has made instant and profound impact on the Padres. I don't know what they're going to do in the postseason. I don't know if they're going to be a wild card team or can they overtake the Dodgers. But it's been a heck of a season for them. And if you look back on it, and let's do that, they lost a game. San Diego lost a game on July 19th, and at that point, they were 50-50 on the season. They trailed the Braves, the Mets, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, and the Pirates in the wild card standings. That's right. The Padres were behind the Pirates in the wild card standings. At that point, the Cardinals had a two-game lead on Schilt's team, but the Padres took care of that because once they that spark, they went nuts. Since July 20th, the Padres have the best record in the majors. It's a ridiculous record. It's a preposterous record, as in good. 41-16 since July the 20th. There's no other team in the majors over that time that are within five games of that. That's how much better they've been than everyone else. And as we know, this figures to make them a very dangerous team. Now, Schilt made history this week, and I wanted to bring this to your attention because I think it's really interesting. I didn't know it, and it just sort of reinforces the fact that he's building a really, really impressive career. All right, how did he make history? Let me tell you, and again, thank you for letting me look down to look at my notes. I don't memorize these things, and I won't use a teleprompter like some of these other people. Old school, baby. No, I'm just kidding. Schilt has now won 90 or more games in each of his first three seasons when it was possible to win 90 games. In other words, he took over for Matheny right before the All-Star break in 2018. So it wasn't possible for Schilt to win 90 games in the second half of the season. And then, of course, the COVID interrupted or the COVID truncated season in 2020, very, very short schedule. But when he's had the full run of a season, he's won 90 or more games every season, three in a row, right? And well, where is that history? Okay, let me tell you. If you look at it from this standpoint, all right, there's been 13 managers in the history of the majors who have done this, right? Winning 90 plus games basically in full seasons, in their first three full seasons as the manager. Sorry that I'm sort of stumbling on this, but it's hard to look at notes sometimes. So only 13 managers have done that, 90 games in their first three seasons when they had a large enough schedule to do so. But here's what separates Schilt from all the others, the other 12. They did it with one team. It was continuous with one team. Schilt's the only manager in this group of 13 to have done it, to have gone 90, 90, 90 with two different teams. No one's ever done this before in the history of baseball. So when you're the only guy, the only manager who's ever done something positive like that, it's noteworthy. So if you look at Schilt's last, again, if you look at when he had a chance to take a team to the postseason, the 2019 Cardinals, the 2020 Cardinals, the 2021 Cardinals, he got him in the postseason. And we all know that he's the only Cardinals manager in the last 10 years to lead them to a playoff round victory over the Braves in the 2019 NLDS. Now he is, if you take the three in a row in St. Louis, making the playoffs, first year in San Diego, he's now done it 4 years in a row, basically. Not in a row because he was a coach and he was an assistant last year, but you're in the dugout as the manager. Four straight times now, he's guided a team to the postseason. The other thing that this is interesting about Schilt, I think it's very interesting about Schilt. He's managed 608 regular season games in the majors, right? And his 564 winning percentage ranks 29th all time among managers that have at least 608 games as the skipper in the big leagues. Now, that may not seem like a big deal. Well, 29th. Well, first of all, think about there's been a few thousand guys that have managed, right? At least. And so to be 29th on that list, I think that's really good. But let me try to put it in perspective. Right now, in terms of career winning percentage, I'm going to read you some names. Right now, Schilt has a higher major league winning percentage as the manager. Tony La Russa, Whitey Herzog, Red Schoendienst, Bobby Cox, Sparky Anderson, Dusty Baker, Terry Francona, Joe Torre, Davey Johnson, Walter Alston, Dick Williams, Miller Huggins, Leo DeRocher, and many, 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 many others whose names you would probably recognize. as Tony La Russa said earlier this year, when asked by a San Diego writer about how good of a manager Schilt is, La Russa, who, by the way, still thinks it was ridiculous that Schilt got fired here. But as La Russa told the San Diego writer talking about how good Schilt is, La Russa said, "I just wish I had his winning percentage." So that's quite a compliment from TLR. Since the Cardinals fired Schilt, they have a 507 winning percentage. And when he was their manager, they had a 559 winning percentage. A lot of that in terms of the 507 winning percentage since he's left, a lot of that has to do with flawed roster construction. And we should, you know, we should recognize that. It's not just all about the manager. But Schilt clearly was able to take what he had and get a lot out of it. We're still trying to find that out about Ollie Marmol. Schilt's got more talent in San Diego. There's no doubt more talent than Marmol has in St. Louis. But the Padres just haven't done enough with it over the years. And now Schilt has given them a new identity. And this is the other thing I want to talk about, because I think this reflects well on him. Unlike the recent past, and there have been some teams in San Diego. In fact, remember the year they were in at Busch Stadium? And there was like a big brouhaha in the dugout because players were arguing with each other. Remember that? Schilt has cleaned all that stuff up. This team competes really, really hard. It doesn't lay down. It never gives up. 38 comeback wins the season. And the Padres have won 13 times when they have been trailing after six innings. And they've won 11 times after trailing through seven innings. I believe Schilt would refer to that as scratching and clawing. Well, they do, right? I also think that Schilt should not be ignored in the manager of the year vote, because I think everyone is going to just say, well, the Brewers, Craig Counsell bolted to go grab that money from the Cubs, and he left the Brewers one of the best managers in the game. Sorry about that. I got itchy. I need a shave. One of the best managers in the game, and Pat Murphy stepped in, and it's like nothing ever happened. The Brewers are having a great season. And I think Pat Murphy's going to win manager of the year, but what I think is going to happen, listen, something's wrong with the voters if Schilt's not in the top three, because they really weren't expected to be in this position after starting out 50-50. And Mike Schilt's got a case to at least be on the podium, as they say. First of all, the National League West is a lot tougher than the National League Central. The Dodgers, the Padres are good, but the Diamondbacks are good. The Giants are pretty respectable. They're up and down. This past offseason, the Dodgers spent, when we're talking about the entire length of the contracts and everything, the Dodgers spent $1 billion last offseason, and they have a lineup that has three former MVPs and all kinds of other good stuff. The Dodgers were like the unanimous choice to win the NL West, but here is Schilt with a team that had cut payroll chasing down the team that spent $1 billion. And even though the Brewers had to replace players because of injuries or trades like Corbin Burns, and we've gone through all this, they had to fill in some gaps. Let's not forget that the Padres traded Juan Soto after last season, or maybe it was during last season. Pardon me. And other guys that aren't there who were there: Seth Lugo, Nick Martinez, Michael Wacha, Josh Hader, and the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell. So Schilt's done a heck of a job here. And, you know, if he finishes in the top three of the voting, keep in mind, you remember, he was the National League Manager of the Year in 2019, and he finished third in 2021. By the time that was announced, he had already been fired. So Schilt's got a good chance to finish in the top three Manager of the Year voting for the third time in his four seasons as the manager. Who's better off right now? Is it Mike Schilt or is it John Mozeliak? Is it San Diego Padres or the St. Louis Cardinals? I think we know the answer. I know I did a Schilt video when he came back to town a while back. I just wanted to revisit this because they are quite a story in Major League Baseball. And there is no denying the impact he has made as a first-year manager. So that'll do it for today. I'll be back later in the day with a second video. I hope your day is off to a great start, and can't wait to visit again here in a few hours, happy hour time probably, here on The Bernie Show. Thank you.